Blog Talk Radio.
And I just needed that moment of worship. I'm not looking back. I'm moving ahead. We got to move ahead with God. We got to move ahead with Christ Jesus. He has risen with all power in his hand. He has given me, he has given you a second chance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As he says, yeah. Yeah. Not looking back. We got to move forward in our word. We got to move forward in our life. We got to move forward with our Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad in it. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning lifting up the name of Jesus, who has risen with all power in his hand. Lord God, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy sight. For Lord God, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. I cannot do this without you. Father God, I lay this word at your altar. I lay it at your feet, God, asking you, Father, to guide me through, to give me what to say, and to remove anything that is a distraction. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I rebuke all spiritual warfare against me, against this blog, against what we do for you, God. Wherever it is, I send it right back from which it came, that pits of hell, but it cannot touch, and it is not welcome. So I rebuke and bind that spirit, whatever it is, that's attacking right now, in the name of Jesus. For I know that I am covered from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet by the blood of the Savior. And it's in his name I lift up this word. It's in his name I lift up this blog. It's in his name that we move forward in the name of Jesus, because we know for Jesus, 99 will not do. Hallelujah. 99 won't do. Can we say it with me, Father God? I thank you again. And I ask the audience, as we pray this prayer, 99 and a half won't do for Jesus. So it's in his name I lift up this 99 won't do word this morning. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. Woo, hallelujah. This word is, powerful this morning. We're going to be talking about Gideon in our Old Testament word. And we're going to be talking about the 99 in our New Testament word. And our title is coming out of our New Testament words, which comes from Jesus, you know, that red letter Bible that we all have a copy of, where he gives this parable, you know, in chapter 15 of Luke. And I tell you, this word has hit my spirit so much that I was in the process of working on a conference, and I changed the complete title, totally reworking the conference, because this word is what God said. This is what your conference will be on. So prequel to 99 won't do. I will not be the guest speaker, however, but I tell you this, this word is powerful. And I, as they say, I will preach it one day, but it is not for me to preach at the conference. It's for me to be a coordinator. But I do hope that those that listen in will be able to come in September to the Table of Life Women's Conference, because I'm telling you, wow, God is, you won't hear too much more until everything is completely in place. But I tell you this, I'm excited. 99 won't do for God, and 99 won't do for us. We got to get to work. So let's get to work in our word this morning. And our word is coming out of Judges chapter 5 through chapter 6. And we will also be coming out of our Proverbs and our Psalm in Proverbs, the 49th Psalm, verses 1 through 9, Proverbs 14, 20 through 21. And our main title and topic is coming out of Luke chapter 15, and we will be in verses 1 through 11. And it will continue into tomorrow with 99 won't do part 2. So get ready, get ready. I'm excited. Y'all know your host gets a little giddy for Jesus, and I just get giddy for the word of God. And every day I tell God when I wake up, Lord God, and just join me in saying, Lord God, I'm thankful that you gave me another chance. I'm grateful that you woke me up this morning, and I'm blessed to have a do-over, and that I pray, Father, that today will be better than yesterday, in Jesus' name. So thank you, and let's get started. And as we know, on yesterday, we were talking about Deborah, the prophetess extraordinaire, and I say it. I have a Deborah thing. I love me some Deborah. She is powerful. You know, all you hear is that she's a judge. But you know what? When you talk about Deborah and the fact that she was a woman, she was over a command, she was tough. You know, and what she tells us, she told us, told Eric, listen now, a woman's going to get credit for what you do. And he was like, oh, well, you know, you got to go with me. I ain't going to go without you. You know, having a moment. And, you know, I have a book, and it says The Women of the Bible, and it's by M.L. Del Mastro. And, you know, one of the things how he titled it was that Deborah and the Cautious Commander. That was the title of this section in the book on Deborah, because he was cautious. You know, he didn't want to do his job. He didn't want to do what he was supposed to do. You know, well, I'll do it if you go with me. Okay, sure. But understand, you're not going to get credit for this. And what happened? He went running and went in the tent of Jael. And what she do? Knocked that nail through his head. Nailed him down to the ground with a tent pole. And what can you say? Well, sister girl had it going on and did the thing. Didn't hesitate. Gave him some warm milk. And the next thing he know, he was sleeping like a baby. And bam, that's the end of you. Just as the prophetess had spoken. When a prophetess speaks, you better listen. When a prophet speaks, you better listen. And I'm talking the genuine kind. I'm talking to ones that's not asking for $14.95. You can give me $1,000, but add the $14.95, so $1,014.95. You know, no, it's not one of those. It is, we want to do what God calls us to do. And they don't have to ask for anything because people are going to give to a prophet what a prophet deserves. They're going to give a prophet's reward because it's a blessing to the prophet as well as a blessing to the giver. So to my prophets and prophetess out there, you covered. Because God's going to give you whatever it is you need and more without you asking for it. So let's get started. And it says, then Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinadab, saying on that day, saying, when leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. Hey, I got to read that again. When leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praises to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when you went out from Seth, when you marched from the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens roared. The clouds also poured water. The mountains gushed before the Lord. This Sinai before the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anak, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted and the travelers walked along the byways. Village, light seat. Woo, hallelujah. In Israel until I, Deborah, arose. She's like, let me tell you about myself. Arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods, them little G's. Then there was war in the gates. Not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. My heart is with the rulers of Israel who offered themselves willingly with the people. Bless the Lord. Speak you who ride on white donkeys, who sit in judges' attire, who walk along the road, far from the noise of the archers among the watering places. There they shall recount the righteous acts of the Lord, the righteous acts by his villages in Israel. Then the people of the Lord shall go down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, sing a song. Arise, Barak, and lead your captives away, O son of Ben-Oam. Then the survivors came down, the people against the noble. The Lord came down for me against the mighty. From Ephraim were those whose roots were in Amalek. After you, Benjamin, with your people, from Mekar, rulers came down. And from Zebulun, those who bear the recruiter's staff. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, as Issachar so was Barak. Hallelujah. Sent into the valley under his command among the divisions of Reuben. There were great resolves of heart. Why do you sit among the sheepfolds to hear the piping for the flock? The divisions of Reuben were great searching of heart. Gilead stayed beyond in Jordan. And why did Dan remain on ships? Asher continued at the seashore and stayed by his inlet. Zebulun is a people who jeopardized their lives to the point of death. Naphtali also on the heights of the battlefield. The kings came and fought. Then the kings of Canaan fought in Taanach. By the waters of Megiddo, they took no spoils of silver. They fought from the heavens. The stars from their courses fought against Assyria. The torrent of Kishon swept them away. That ancient torrent, the torrent of Kishon. Oh, my soul, march on in strength. Then the horses' hooves pounded the galloping of its steed. Cursed Morzah. Said the angel of the Lord, cursed the inhabitants bitterly, because they did not come to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Most blessed among women is Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Blessed is she among women in tents. Hallelujah. He asked for water she gave him milk. She brought out cream in a lowly bowl. She stretched her hand to the tent peg, her right hand to the workman's hammer. She pounded Sisera, she pierced his head. She split and struck through his temple. At her feet he sank, he fell, he lay still. At her feet he sank, he fell. Where he sank, there he fell dead. The mother of Sisera looked through the window and cried out through the lattice, why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarries the clatter of his chariot? Her wisest lady answered her, yes, she answered herself. Are they not finding and dividing this world to every man a girl or two? Was Sisera a plunderer of dyed garments? Plunderer of garment embroidered and dyed? 2 pieces of dyed embroidered for the neck of the looter. Thus let all your enemies perish, O Lord. But let those who love him be like the sun when it comes out in full strength. So the land had rest for 40 years. The land had rest for 40 years under prophetess. Who Judge Deborah. Hallelujah. Mighty woman of God. Of Jael. Mighty woman of God who was not afraid to kill a king because she knew she had to do it. It was her assignment. Whoa! Praise be to God who causes us to triumph. And this is, I love this life lesson. It says, in Judges 5:13, the Lord came down for me against the mighty devil speaking. When we face off against the mighty, we need the Lord to help us. If we want to win, then we will get on our knees in prayer. The secret to success remains the same throughout the Bible, the presence of God. When he is with us, or more accurately, when we are with him, success naturally follows because God is always with us. The issue is we are not always with him. We are not always dependent on him. We think, I can do it myself. No, we cannot do it ourselves. I can't do what I need to do by myself. I need the angels of heaven to help me do what I need to do because I know I cannot do this without God. I cannot speak without God. I cannot breathe without God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thanking God this morning for the breath in my body. Thanking God this morning, hallelujah, that he is in charge of everything. Thanking God this morning that there is no other God. There is no other Lord like our Lord Jesus. There is none like our Father. There is none like his Son. There is none like the Holy Spirit that dwells in each and every one of us. All we have to do is light him up. Light him up. Light up the spirit in you that those that know you see him in you. We got to get out of self and get into God. Hallelujah. Not more to preach this morning, but Lord, thank you for the word. Who is Jesus? As we continue this morning, I'm just thanking God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm filled up, y'all. And now we're getting ready to get into Gideon. And it says this in chapter 6 of the book of Judges. Then the children of Israel did evil. Now, you think about it one more time. Put this in your mind. 40 years of peace. 4 decades of peace. No war. No strife. Just peace and peace. They had peace. And this is what it says. Then the children of Israel, here we go again, did evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was whenever Israel had songs. Whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, also Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth, as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey, for they will come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they went into the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, and it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Do not have, but you have not obeyed my voice. And I'm going to read that again, because we need to know who we're talking about. And it said, I said to you, this is God, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods, the little g's of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat down on the terebinth tree, which is in Ophrah, which belongs to Joab, the Abizrite, while his son Gideon thrashed wheat in the wine press in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about? Say, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So he said to him, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Then he said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait until you come back. So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot. And he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. The angel of the Lord said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff and was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose over the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread, and the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you. Do not fear, you shall not die. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, the Lord is peace. To this day it is still in Ophrah of the Abizrites. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father had, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement, and take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you cut down. So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, there was the altar veil torn down, and the wooden image that was beside it was cut down, and the second bull was being offered on the altar which had been built. So they said to one another, "Who has done this thing?" And when they had inquired and asked, they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing." Then the men of the city said to Joash, "Bring out your son, that he may die, because he has torn down the altar of Baal, because he has cut down the wooden image that was beside it." But Joash said to all who stood against him, "Would you plead for Baal? Would you save him? Let the one who would plead for him be put to death. By morning, if he is a god, let him plead self, because his altar has been torn down." Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, "Let Baal plead against him, because he has torn down his altar." Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the middle of the east gathered together, and they crossed over and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew the trumpet, and the Ebirites gathered behind him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also gathered behind him. He also sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. So Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said." And it was so. When he arose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more. With the fleece, let it now be dry only on the floor, but on all the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground. Ooh, don't play with God. Because what you ask, the Lord will do. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And let's go back over some life lessons for this word this morning. And all I can say is, it is a great word. And it says this in Judges 6:10, "I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites." So he kept saying the angel. But who do you think when he said, "I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice." Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the table tree, gave him a face. Who do you think the angel of the Lord was? Who do you think the mighty one was? "I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites." God intends all of his words for our benefit, although not all of them bring us comfort. When the Lord rebukes and admonishes us, he does so out of love, desiring that we return to him, the source of life. When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel who said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hands of the Egyptians and out of the hands of all who oppressed you and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites." God sent a prophet to speak to them, to let them know who he was. And then I believe, this is just me, when it talks about the Lord's angel, I believe it was Jesus. I cannot say. It might have been Gabriel. It might have been Michael. But I just believe in my heart that it was Jesus. That it was Jesus who came and showed him some things. And it said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. The Lord's estimation of us often differs from our own. God saw Gideon as a mighty man of valor. Gideon saw himself as weak and little. When we believe God and not ourselves, we become what he says we are. I am who God says I am. I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. Hallelujah. We got to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, we got to acknowledge him. As Solomon said, we got to have wisdom. We got to know that our God will make a way out of no way. He will give us what we need. He will give us order in our life. Hallelujah. All we got to do is what? Trust him. And know that to God, 99 won't do. 99 won't do. Unless we go into, back into this word, a life question. Is flea throwing a good way to discover the will of God? And this is what Dr. Stanley says in this word. He says, some try to determine God's will by throwing fleeces. He says, if X happens, then I'll do one thing. But if Z happens, then I'll do another. But how does such a strategy differ from treating the will of God like a corn toss and basing our decisions on whether it falls heads or tails? In most cases, putting out a fleece demonstration, not a robust faith in God, but an unhealthy suspicion that he doesn't have our best interest at heart and that he really can't be trusted to fulfill his word. We find the act of fleece throwing in the book of Judges when God calls Gideon to fight the Midianites. Gideon doesn't feel so sure about the divine assignment and puts out his fleece, not to discover the will of God, but to try to gain some confidence that he will enjoy success. Notice three things about this questionable practice. First, the fleece throwing was Gideon's idea, not God's. Nowhere in Scripture does God authorize such a practice or call it a desirable method for knowing his purposes. Second, only here in Scripture is this method used. No one else employs it. Number three, Gideon did not perform the fleece throwing to know God's will, but to gain confidence in the outcome that God had promised. Gideon already knew with a certainty that God wanted him to lead the people into battle against the Midianites. The armies had already gathered for battle. Gideon knew he was the leader. He simply wanted an extraordinary sign from God that he and the Israelites would succeed. Repeatedly in Scripture, God calls us to remain faithful to him without regard to whether we will succeed. Genuine trust in God means that we follow him wherever he leads and do whatever he directs without any concern for the outcome. Job had a right idea, though he's fighting, yet will I trust him. Job 13:15, hallelujah. We got to have that in our spirit. Gideon's fleece throwing indicated that he didn't really trust God. Likewise today, many people who use fleece throwing reveal that they don't really trust God to remain true to his word. But God calls us to a different path laid out by the psalmist. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and through the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. 46 Psalms, verses 1 through 2. And let's get into the 49th Psalm, verses 1 through 9. To the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, hear this, all people, give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor, together. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will disclose my dark sayings on the heart. Why should I fear the days of evil when the iniquity at my heel surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. But the redemption of their soul is costly, and it shall cease forever, that he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. And none of us want to see the pit. None of us want to go into the pit. I'm trying my best to say, Lord, I'm running, trying to make 199.5. Won't do. We want to make 100 for the Lord. We want to make it into the narrow gate. We want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear when it's my time to go. The Lord's will, I want to hear, well done. Well done. Well done. Hallelujah. Give God glory this morning. Proverbs 14:20-21. The poor man is hated even by his own neighbor, but the rich has many things. He who despises his neighbor's sin, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. And today's word, woo, hallelujah, are y'all ready? Are you ready? 99 won't do. Can y'all say that with me? 99 won't do. And the word of God says, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, whew, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Hallelujah. Jesus told us he came for the sinner. 99 won't do for Jesus, and 99 of us will not do. He wants 100% of us for him. Repent, be saved, so you're 100. So you can say, I'm keeping it 100. Hallelujah. Are you keeping it 100 today? Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. There is joy. Ooh, hallelujah. There is joy. Can y'all say there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents? Have you repented today? Have you asked God's forgiveness today for whatever you may have done in thought, whatever you may have done in deed, whatever you may have done in the dark, whatever you may have done in the light, whatever you may have said to your neighbor that was not right, whatever you looked wrong, said wrong, acted wrong, did wrong? Did you repent and say, Father God, forgive me? Lord God, forgive me for anything I've done against your divine majesty. Father God, forgive me if I have said anything wrong to anybody. Father God, forgive me if I spoke out of turn. Father God, forgive me for anything that I've done. Lord God, forgive me if I was smoking weed. Forgive me if I was drinking. Forgive me if I was watching pornography. Forgive me if I was doing anything that was not like you. We got to start asking God forgiveness. Forgive me, Lord God, if I have been neglecting my children. Forgive me, Lord God, if I haven't been going to church. Forgive me, Lord God, if I haven't been paying my tithes, giving you my time, giving you my talent. Lord God, forgive me because I know that you've called me to sing in the praise team, but I just want to sit in the pew, Lord, because I want to get home. Because, you know, Lord, I got dinner to make. I got kids to feed. I got this to do. But, Lord, I just say, no, we got to say, Father, forgive us, for we know not what we do, just as Jesus said, Father, forgive us for all sins we have committed, whatever your sin may be. If I didn't call it out, you know what you've done. God knows what you've done. Ask for repentance. Father God, forgive us all. Lord, forgive me for my mouth. But you know, girl, can say some things. Forgive me, Lord, for you know everything. Father God, I just ask you to forgive me. We got to ask forgiveness and we got to repent. And Lord God, woo, hallelujah, Father God, I ask you to forgive me for being an unforgiving soul. If there is anyone that I have not forgiven, as I ask you to forgive me as I repent this day, asking you to wipe away my slate and make it clean, God. If I have any unforgiveness in my heart, in my soul, in my mind, in my spirit, I ask you to pull it out by the root, oh God. Remove any unforgiveness from me, unforgiveness from my neighbor who took some of my land, unforgiveness for the little boy who scratched my car, unforgiveness for the coworker that did some things that they know was wrong, unforgiveness for looking at my neighbor's wife, unforgiveness for looking at my neighbor's husband, unforgiveness for looking at my neighbor's stuff. Unforgiveness, Lord, for not doing what I was supposed to do. Forgive my unforgiving spirit, God, that I cannot forgive those that have coveted, those that have looked at me wrong, those that didn't speak, and those that took my seat. Lord God, remove all that foolishness from hearts, minds, and spirits, oh God. We ask you to forgive us, God. We ask you to remove all those awful stains from our spirit, God. In the name of Christ Jesus, Lord God, we want to be made brand new. We want to keep it 100 because 99% of us will not do. In Jesus' name, I pray that I covered everybody. And whatever we all have sinned and fall short, I'm not perfect. God, I have forgiven for my mess, but you know I have created my chaotic mess. Because we all have chaos in our lives in some form or fashion. And we got to ask God to help us get rid of those spirits that have come in 7 times worse than what they were before. You know, because they couldn't find anything, so they came back to you. We got to remove and bind those spirits and get them out of our houses, out of our hearts, and out of our churches in the name of Jesus. Luke 15:10 says, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. Who we repent today. I pray that you pray with me. We repent today. Jesus cannot talk about heaven and about the redeemed who populated without talking about joy and gladness. Heaven is a very happy place because joy is an attribute of God. Ooh, Galatians 5:22. And our last word is coming out of Luke 15:6. Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. The Lord is neither cold-hearted, nor matter-of-fact about finding his lost sheep and bringing them home. He takes great joy and feels great excitement in reestablishing a close bond with his wandering ones. God wants us to be loving, kind to each other, but he wants us to know that he will not leave us. He will not forsake us. He said in his word that I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He has told us this, and we got to believe it. We got to believe that God is in charge of everything and that he loves us and that he cares about us and that he wants the best for us, because 99 won't do. Hallelujah. I thank God for all of you this morning, and I pray the prayer that all of you who are listening live or later, that you will know that you are special to God and that he loves you. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. He loves you more than anything. But you are special. You are God's children. You are God's anointed. And as we get ready to wrap it up this morning, I have a prayer and a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And this morning, our prayer is, defeat is impossible. Woo! It's right in what I was this morning from Deborah as well as Gideon and as well as the 99 won't do that lost sheep, because failure is not an option. Defeat is impossible. Then you will prosper if you take care to fulfill the statutes and judgments with which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be dismayed. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 13, New King James Version. God, my Father, you are the leader of my life. May I never walk away from your wisdom that brings life. As long as my life is joined to yours, I will taste the fruit of your kingdom. Carry it with me into every situation. I will not be dismayed when the timing of your promises does not match up with my own. Encourage my heart when disappointment starts to set in. Keep my heart woven into yours, giving me the strength and courage I need to keep going. Walking in the confidence of who you are, I will find the satisfaction I'm looking for. How could I miss it? When it's all based in you, your strength becomes my own as I lean on you. I won't have to trust in my own abilities. What a relief. Thank you for your grace that leads me into the abundance of life in you. And our word for this morning to think about is this. What unknown outcomes are keeping you from showing up with courage? We don't need police this morning. We need Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, again, thank you for this mighty word. And as we finish up this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word this morning from Sister Carolyn is this. Your praise will take you from problems to your provision. Hallelujah. Have a one worshiping Wednesday, and I will worship the Lord this morning in spirit and in truth and in the spirit of gladness and happiness. Thank you, Father, for this word this morning. And as we depart, for those that are listening live or later, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day, knowing that you are children of the Most High God, and 99 won't do. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. Why? Because it's time to go to work. Love you all. Be blessed. It is a wrap.